John 19 and verse 30. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I was riding down the road and I saw a church sign and it had these words on it. It was a question. It said, "What is your it? What is your it?" And I immediately probably thought it connected to this verse where Jesus said, "It is finished." So today, I want to ask you the question, what is your it? And is your it finished? Now, if you don't realize you have an it, you will never finish it. That's the first key point here. You got to realize that you got an it, and then you need to finish it. I think sometimes we get sidetracked, sitting on the fence for way too long. For Christ, he had some specific its that had to be finished up. And we're going to look at, I think, three of them here. But it was just more than one thing when he said, "It is finished." Now, if you were to come to my house, I have a room called the Red Room. We call it the Red Room because it's red. Now, it's got red brick in it on the floor. I think I built a thing about 20 years ago when Rebecca came along and added on some rooms to the home. But this one room, if you were to come over there, you'd look up at the top, and it's about 6 feet of crown molding that was never finished. I mean, that's all I lack is 6 feet. It take, 6 feet of crown molding and three nails. 20 years. can you relate to that? I mean, do you have things that are just not finished? What is your it that needs to be finished? And or maybe I said it's almost finished. I mean, it's almost there. And I think there's almost an addictive quality to starting projects because there's excitement. I mean, one thing, it's new. And you think, boy, this is exciting. And you really work on that. Then all of a sudden, way down the road, you begin to realize you almost get there. You almost finish it, but not quite. Not quite. Now, suppose Jesus would have never finished his work. Suppose he was just good at starting things, the Bible tells us that Jesus grew in favor with God and man until he began his ministry. Once he began his ministry, in 3.5 years, he was dead. But suppose he was good at, this in favor with God and man, that's a good thing. I'm all excited about that. But when the going got rough, when he began his ministry, I don't know if I want to finish this or not. I'm not sure, the going gets tough, The tough get going, is the saying. How many of you have been in a church, so let's say 10 years or longer? Can I see your hands? 10 years. Okay, if you've been in a church 20 years or longer, you should have a list of things marked off as finished. Should you not? Things I have finished. You really should. Well, I want to look at three things that Christ started, and I guess we could say started and finished. The first one, we've already covered this, and that is when Jesus, he said, "It is finished." Christ paid the price for our sins. Our sacrifice, forgiveness of sin, came to that point. It is finished. That's one thing. Second thing is in John 4 and verse 34. John 4 and verse 34. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." That's John 4 and verse 34. He continues on here. He says, okay, well, what is he talking about? My meat is to finish the work. And he says, "Say ye not that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." So here we're talking about, the building of a spiritual organism called the church. And you might could say, well, this is not quite finished yet. I mean, I don't think the church is going to be finished until resurrection time is actually completed. So it's a work in progress here. He connects this up with the work of, harvesting, of outreach. He says, look on the fields. They're white, ready to be harvested. And I sometimes think we look at that verse and say, well, I don't get it. where are the people at? You know, as you look at your congregation, or maybe as I look at my congregation, our congregation in Rocky Mount, you know, where's the harvest at? This past year, I did a seminar at Lexington, Kentucky. It was the winter family retreat or something like that. I forget what they call that, but they asked me about giving a seminar, and I come up with a seminar called the Seed Sower. It was about sowing seed and outreach, and of course, I'm all excited about this. I mean, I really am, because this is where my heart is at. I had a little model up there of a camera, and I was trying to get people to do something similar to what I do on YouTube and outreach, and creating a little 2 or 3 minute message and uploading it to YouTube or Vimeo or GodTube or Facebook page. And I asked the question, I said, you know, if I put a camera on you and I ask you 2 questions, what is your faith and how is your faith different? Could you answer that question? What is your faith? And how's your faith different? You know, could you answer that question? Well, yeah, you could. And you could record it. And you could put it up, upload it to for everybody to see. I talked about statistics. You know, I think on my YouTube page, I got about 25,000 views or whatever. And I said, you know, imagine if 50 people were doing this. You know, 50. You know, you start multiplying this, 50 times 25,000. And you begin to realize, I mean, you get up into the millions very quickly, and saturation, the importance of saturation, that no one person can do all the saturation. And that's the parable of the sower. It is saturation. I mean, he's throwing seeds out everywhere, on good ground, bad ground, on rocks, among thorns and thistles. It's saturation. Get it out there. And, you know, the seed sower is not responsible. He doesn't come back to see if it's sprouted. He doesn't come back to water. He doesn't come back to harvest. He's just a seed sower. And we need those people in the church, sowing seed. And there's multiple ways to do this, of course. But I gave the example of a man looking out about mid-July at his garden and saying, I wonder why there are no cucumbers, no tomato plants, nothing's coming up in my garden. Man. And all of a sudden he realizes, I didn't plant the seed. And I think that's sort of maybe where we're at as a people, as a church. As we look, we say, well, where is this harvest? You know, Jesus said, look on the fields. This was 2,000 years ago. Here we are 2,000 years ago wondering, well, I don't see that, you know, where are the people that are interested? Well, have the seeds been planted? You know, if not, you're not going to have anything coming up. Again, saturation. You know, my personal opinion is this: if Paul was here today, and we could show him the technology that we have, you know, a camera, internet, Facebook, all this stuff, he would be ashamed of us. You know, he would say, "You mean you have this technology? You have the ability to reach the world?" And you're uploading 50 pictures of yourself to Facebook, and you're telling people that you're going to Walmart to pick up a roll of toilet paper, you know. He said, I can't believe this, that you're letting slip through your hands here. Of course, now, my biggest discouragement at that seminar was this. I'm going to tell you what my biggest discouragement was, and it was this. 8 people showed up on a seminar about outreach. I've never been so discouraged in my life. You know, you talk about hopeless, Freddie. I mean, I was really hopeless at that point. I thought, because there was about 500 people at this event. Of course, I was competing with a doctor, by the way, about how to be cancer-free. A seminar, it was 4 seminars going on. And they all went to, you know, of course, all you got to do is just tack on that name doctor, and it doesn't matter. Anything goes. You know, they're going to see that. They're going to watch that. But I was competing with that and how to be cancer-free. You're still going to die, but, you know. But it would be nice to be cancer-free. But I am so guilty of building my expectations. Everything I do this. And I got to quit doing it. I build my expectations. If I go on a vacation, I build it up. And it can never meet my expectations. Nothing can meet my expectations. Nothing. And I go on a vacation, I think, boy, what a drag. This was nothing. I mean, it doesn't matter where I go. You could send me to the Bahamas. You could send me to Hawaii, and I would build it up so great, and it could never meet the expectations. And And so I built the expectations of this seminar, people being interested, people wanting to know about outreach and what can we do to reach more people. 8 people. And probably half of them was my family. No. Well, 2 were. And I talked to Kelly Pearson, and he had a similar thing happen to him at the feast last year, I believe. He was doing a seminar on using technology in outreach. And I could tell he was discouraged. And I said, how did it go? And he said, well, he said 20 people showed up. Of course, he beat me, though. But, I could tell he's discouraged. And I said, Kelly, why do you think that's true? Only 20 people showed up for, you know, a seminar on outreach and using technology and getting the word out. He said, well, people just have this idea that I've sent in my tithe check and that's it. You know, that's my job. And it really is true. I mean, that statement is true that somebody else is supposed to do this. You know, it's the leader, the minister, when it comes to sowing seed, I don't think anybody is disqualified. You know, if you exist, you should be doing this. And there's multiple, there's one-on-one. There's all kinds of ways to do this. But I like a broader sweep. I like dealing with the whole world, you know. At least you might get a few interested. It just works better. Okay, so Jesus said, look, I've finished this work, but we have a work to do. The third one is John 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So another job was to glorify God and to reveal what a real relationship with God is like. That was what Christ came, to truly reveal what a real relationship with God is like. And I sometimes think that I know people in the world of churchianity miss the boat on this one. But I fear sometimes that people in God's church can miss the boat on this one also. You know, Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, woman, believe me, the hour has come when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You know, there is this idea, you know, I got to go to church to worship God. I got to go to church. Gotta go. That's where you go to worship God. I mean, we're programmed to believe that. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. I mean, I worship God 24/7. I'll be riding down the road, and I will, except when I'm falling short. Let me clarify that. When I'm, when I sometimes fall short, I'm definitely not worshiping God. But sometimes I'll ride down the road, and I'll see something, and I'll say, God, did you see that? You know, it might be a beautiful sunset or something, and I'm reminding God. I said, look at that, Lord. But, worship is something that you're always doing. It's not something you come to church to do. I mean, that whole idea is ridiculous when you think about it. But that was the concept back then. We go to Jerusalem to worship the Father. And he said, you worship what you don't know, but we worship what for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I think in the world of churchianity, relationship with God has been substituted with church and religion. That's my opinion. That in the world that we see around us, that a relationship with God has been substituted for church and religion. And it's not the same. It's not the same at all. I mean, I don't even know what kind of resemblance there is there. You know, our work, choose the church of your choice and get you some religion. You know, that's that's how you sell it, you know. And it's backwards. It's backwards. I think first you develop a relationship with God, and then down the road you may choose a church, which I like to use the word support group, not a church. You know, church, I got ideas about that I'm turned off by. But support group, you know, a bunch of junkies trying to overcome sin. That's what the church said, a support group. And really, you think about it, when you think about having to answer to God, your religion is really it's your religion. It's your own religion, you know, that we answer to God for. You know, God, one day God's going to say, God, David, why did you keep the Sabbath? And I have to answer for that. Why do you keep the holy days? You know, why do you do the things you did? And so everybody has to answer that question. Why do you go to church on Sunday? And, you know, well, they got to answer that question. And hopefully it's going to have to be backed up by the Word of God. But I've met people in God's church that have substituted relationship with God for church and religion, intellectual conversion, my organization, my spiritual leader. We're the only true church of God. Anytime I hear that, and there's people still saying it today. It's amazing that we're the only ones. I realize what the whole congregation has done. They've substituted a relationship with God for church and religion. And it's dead. It's as dead as you can get. There's nothing there. And, you know, I almost hate to say that. I'm not speaking of you in here. But I think God's people are going to get the biggest surprise come resurrection time of how many are not there, you know. Well, what? I thought Job, man, he was. What happened to Job? What happened to this person? What happened? Relationship. That's what it's about. And a church, you know, it's basically a support group. Yes, you need it. It's good. But what you got to have first is a, you know, relationship with God. Let's talk about your it. What is, you know, your it? 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. It says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And we know that leavening is a type of sin, symbolizes sin. And that can be an it, you know, sin. And it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Oh, there's all kinds of its, you know. Fornication is an it. Anger can be an it. Uncontrolled anger, you know. Gossiping and always stirring up something, that can be an it. Lying can be an it. Because sometimes life itself, it depends on what it throws at you, can be an it, you know. But it is finished. What is your it? You know, just recently I was thinking about my mother, and I said, God, thy kingdom come for my mother's sake. And then I said, well, God, thy kingdom come for my sake, as far as that matter. You know, and it's almost as if, and I'm not saying, you know, don't get this the wrong way. I'm not saying God, you know, I heard a voice or anything, but it's almost God said, you know, don't say that. Don't say thy kingdom come, because you haven't finished your it yet. You know, we flippantly go around, well, Lord, thy kingdom come. Times are bad. Thy kingdom come. As if God, you know, as if Jesus is going to say, okay, here I come, right now. You know, I sort of believe that, you know, Christ might say, look, I'm not going to return until everybody that has an it finishes their it. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I want to leave you with a little poem I heard recently. Would have been, could have been, should have been. Have you ever heard of them? They live on the corner of Maybe Street, in a house that never was. The halls are all vacant, the rooms are empty too, filled with inspired dreams that never quite came true. What is your it? And when are you going to finish your it?